Thank you, Lord. The presence of the Lord is, if you recognize him or not, something's wrong. Before I get started tonight, I want to honor these great apostles here. Mary Glazier, who's a pioneer, I heard about you before I was even saved. Wind Walkers. I used to work at the hospital, and they would come and say, "Man, we were at Wind Walkers last night." And I'm going like, "What's that?" Now I know. And Robert and Eleanor Rowe, great apostles in our city. But, you know, today, before I could do this assignment, I was introduced to the apostolic through an apostle here who was the first apostle I ever met in my life. It was Apostle Brown. And today I ran into his wife at the store, and she told me that he was in the hospital. And so I was getting ready to go to the church just to spend some time in the presence of God. And the Lord said to me, "You need to go honor the apostle." So I went over to the hospital, and I began to tell him how he impacted my life and ministry. I remember around 2000, you were there, and Apostle Billups came from Georgia. My wife and I were sitting in the service. It was just like this, and we had on these pretty little green outfits, and we were really, really churchy. And he began to teach, and then he stopped, and he pointed us out and made us come to the front. And he told us, he said, "You're so busy doing church work." He said, "But God told me to tell you I've called you to kingdom work." And I didn't understand and know what the kingdom was. I thought the kingdom was the church and the church was the kingdom. But I was stuck in the traditional church and doing church. But when he spoke that over me, something broke in me immediately. And then all of a sudden now I started having this war on the inside that I started getting frustrated with being in church. And it was kind of weird because I had to fight with it for about 5 years before the Lord released me to start the ministry that I have now. The Lord told me to go and to honor that man of God today and to speak healing over his life and to lay my hands on him. But I remember when I used to dream for him to lay his hands on me. I remember sneaking over to his meetings. And I would hear the apostles teach from all over the world, apostles from John Eckhart and Apostle Billups and Apostle Thymo from over in Africa and Sean, and all the prophets would come. And something unlocked on the inside of me, and I'm still on a journey to discover it. Yes. People in my church start calling me apostle at the beginning of last year. And at first I was going to go, wait. And God said, "Wait a minute." Because Apostle Mary spoke that over me when you had that big meeting downtown. And I remember Keith. Yes, he was preaching and he turned around. And I was standing over there and he goes, "Apostle." And I go, "Oh, God." And so I'm just not going to fight it any longer. And I'm just going to accept what God is doing. Amen. Are there any sons of God in the house tonight? Tonight, I want to talk to us. I don't know which way I'm going. I'm just going to go. But tonight, I'm going to talk to us about the sun's arising tonight. You know, when Billy Graham passed, there were some prophetic words that was released prior to his passing that when he passed, certain things were going to happen. And I believe one of the problems with the body of Christ have been is that we've always had to have a voice that represented us. We've always had to have somebody we could point to say, "That's our man." And I don't think that was ever God's intent for us as the body of Christ. I believe that God always wanted to raise up a many-membered man. I believe that God always wanted to have many sons and not just one voice to represent us as the people of God. And no, I'm not knocking that Billy Graham did his assignment and all the different, and we've always been looking for movements. We've been looking for revivals, and the revivals would go up, and then they would come down. The movements would go up, and then they would come down. And I don't even believe God desired for us to be in those type of cycles. I believe that God wanted to raise a many-membered man, a many-membered man of sons of God from the very beginning. When he made Adam, he says, I'm going to make him in my image and in my likeness. And in Luke 3 and 38, it says, and Adam was a son of God. It goes through this genealogy, and at the end it says, Adam, the son of God. That was God's always, his intent for man was to be his sons. Jesus came to reestablish sonship in the earth. He came into the earth, and he displayed what sonship looks like, and he told us, this is the way, this is the pattern that we should live by as the sons of God. And so I want to talk to you here from Romans 8:18. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Because our world is waiting for us. The world is waiting for us. With all the issues and the problems we have in the earth today, there's no government system. There's no laws. There's no voice that's going to come and fix it. It's going to be when the sons of God arise. Yes. And we're going to begin to see alignment take place in the earth. Yes. Amen? 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 Listen to what it says here in the Amplified. It says, but what of that? I'm in verse 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. Watch this. To us, in us, for us, and conferred on us. All of that is in us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. For the creation, nature, was subject to condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault of its part, but by the will of him who so subjected, yet with the hope that nature, creation itself, will be set free, here it is, from its bondage to decay and corruption, and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. The world is bound. And the only way that it will experience freedom is when the sons of God arise. Yes. Yes. We have to get away from looking for someone else to do it. God says, I have placed all of my kingdom inside of you. He says, don't go looking here, don't go looking there. He says, I have placed the kingdom in you. It is the Christ, it is Jesus, the hope of glory that is in you that the world needs. And many times we're looking for the fivefold ministry to do that work for us, but the fivefold ministry, we've been called to undergird the work. Yeah, yeah. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that the apostles are the very foundation of that work. Which means that everything the body of Christ is built upon the shoulders of the fivefold ministry, which means basically fivefold ministry should disappear. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It should never be in the forefront. If we're doing our jobs properly, we are empowering the sons of God with the word of God to go out and to tear Satan's kingdom down. But what's happening is, we're waiting for the great televangelist to get on TV and to do it. We're waiting for the next great move of God to do it.
And God told me to tell you tonight, the move of God is already here. The move of God is inside of you. And he's waiting for you to stir yourself up in your most holy faith. You need to stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost and begin to allow his kingdom to arise in you and to come out of you and work through you. Hallelujah. There are people dying in this world who need a touch from God, and they won't get a touch until till the sons of God arise. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, 18. It says, now, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. When I heard her talk about that orphan spirit, when I heard her talking about, you know, that spirit of abandonment where we're walking around like we're fatherless, but God says, I'm your father and I've supplied everything you need and more. And he says, I've done this. I've placed myself on the inside of you through the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many of you have God on the inside of you? Amen. Now, let me tell you, it's no good if all we want to do is stir ourselves up. God says, I need you to take what's in you and get it out. And we can't listen. And he says, I'm not waiting for the four wall gathering for it to be done. Many times we hold on to it and wait for the four wall gathering. He says, but I need it happen in Walmart. I need it to happen at the gas station. I need it to happen down at the bus station downtown. I need it to happen when you're walking down the sidewalk. I need the kingdom of God released in the earth. And guess what? He says, I'm not waiting on the pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher to do it. I'm waiting on my sons to arise. I don't know if I'm in the right room, but am I in the room with people who are on fire for God? Who's on fire to see his kingdom come, to see his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Hallelujah. I just come to try to stir you tonight, to try to get you excited about what power God has placed on the inside of you. I'm trying to get you excited about the fact that you have all what it takes inside of you to bring a great change. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing. And he says it was given to you by the Holy One. You have an unction. You have power. What is the anointing? The yoke destroying, burden removing, power of God that brings radical change and difference in the life of every person that's touched. Am I talking too loud? He says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This room right now represents God's kingdom. Every nation, every tongue, all together as one. The sons of God are just one people. He says we're not even male nor female. Hallelujah. And the beautiful part about it, what I love about Apostle Eleanor is that she taken her culture. You know, as an African American man, I'm jealous of that. I really am. I'm jealous of that. Now somebody say, well, why? I said because my people were brought here as slaves, and our culture was ripped from us. And so I wonder, how did my people worship God? It's the truth. And so when I watch the native culture and how you honor your elders and how you continue to teach and to train your youth, I'm jealous. It's a good jealousy. It's not bad. That I don't have to be ashamed of my culture. That I can express myself in my culture with my dance and with my sound. And God wants to hear my sound. He doesn't want me to be boxed in to some religious box. He says, I fearfully and wonderfully made you just the way you are. I don't want you to change and become some boxed in. He says that we're being built together. That all of us are being built together as one. Yeah. that in the kingdom of God, there is no race. There's only sons. You're a son, I'm a son, we're all. Hallelujah. The thing that I want to encourage us with is that we need to allow God to conform us. We got to let God be formed in us. We got to allow the veil to be taken from our eyes so we can recognize who we are. In Romans 8, 29 through 31, it says, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them. Man, he said, tag, you're it before you were even your mother's womb. He said, tag, you're it before, he said, before you even formed in your mother's womb, I called you. He says, I knew you and I called. Where did you come from? You didn't come from your mom and your daddy. You came from heaven. You came from the heart and mind of God. You're just a physical manifestation of the love of God. Hallelujah. You had to be here now at this moment, at this time, because he foreknew you. He preordained you for this time. I wonder sometime, how come I couldn't pastor in the 80s and all that stuff? And he said, no, I created you for this time, because there's walls that need to be broken down. There are people whose lives need to be changed. We got to break these walls down. And the only way we can do it is when the sons arise. He says, listen, I foreordained them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. So I just proved to us that it was never designed to be one. The only one was Jesus. After that, it's supposed to be many. And Fivefold Ministry is here to help develop the many to go. He told the disciples, go therefore into all the nations. He says what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe and do what I have commanded you. The world will not hear that message unless the sons release it. We can't depend on TBN. We can't depend on Daystar. God says, listen, I need the sons to arise. We're getting ready to take Alaska by storm. Yes. Hallelujah. But it's going to require the sons to arise. The Lord blessed us that we have a church in Barrow, Alaska now. Amen. Yeah. There's a church in Barrow, Alaska at the top of, right up there. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But the thing about it is we need many. I remember when the prophet was here and he said he gave an illustration of many houses of fire. Yes. And let me tell you what he said. He said 10 years ago, and I was sitting there with my wife. I said, we started 10 years ago. Man, I was so excited that we are a part of the plan of God for this great state of Alaska. Yes. But he needs many sons to arrive. He doesn't need good tithe payers, and he doesn't need good singers. He just needs sons who knows who they are and who's willing to be conformed to the image of God, who will do the will of him who has sent him. Hallelujah. I'm not on my own agenda anymore. I don't do my own thing anymore. I've been conformed to the image, to the very inward likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, for those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. When Jesus pointed out his disciples, do you know that that wasn't the normal order for rabbis to get disciples? Normally, the young, talented, most gifted young men would go to a rabbi and say, can I follow you? And the rabbi would either say yay or nay. And if he said no, they normally went back to a trade. So then Jesus come on the scene. And Andrew and Peter are out fishing. And he points them out. And they drop everything. Why? Because they were rejects. Listen, I'm in a room full of rejects. I'm a reject. I wasn't the most popular in school. I wasn't the most likely to succeed. Maybe you were. Maybe you were homecoming queen. Maybe you were the MVP or the player. I don't know. But listen. When he pointed them out, they dropped everything because they recognized that they. Somebody says, listen. He wants me. But let me tell you what happened before that. John the Baptist is down baptizing in the Jordan. And while he's baptizing in the Jordan, Jesus shows up to the baptism service. And John stops baptizing and turns and points his finger at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. But when he saw Jesus pointed out, he said, "I got to change teams." So when Jesus came and pointed him out, he said, "Oh, that's him. That's him. We got to go." So you may have been abused and abandoned. You may have been let down. Maybe somebody told you you weren't going to be anything. But I want to tell you, there's a finger. There's a finger pointing at you right now. Saying, "Yeah, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one I've been looking for. You're the one that has the anointing I've been looking for. You're the one with the call I've been looking for. You're the one with the power I've been looking for." He says, "Tag, you are it. You are it. You are it." Yeah, you think, see, many people would think all these people who got all this religious prowess, those are the one. Let me tell you, those are the ones that God is pushing to the side. He says, "I need real sons, people who've been down in the dirt, people who God had to go down to the uttermost to grab out, people who may have been strung out at one time, those who've been through divorces and those who've been through all kinds of things. I know the church said that you were rejected. The church said you didn't qualify. I come to tell you, tag." And what I love about this call, that when he's conforming us and he's, listen, that's a painful process because I want to do it my way. I want to live like how I want to feel. You know, we like to live how I want to feel good. And God says, "No, if I got to tweak this and tighten that and move this and, you know, and he, like, you know, he got you on the potter's wheel." And when he finds mar, he digs his finger into the mar to get it out. Then he breaks down the mold and start over again. Anybody been through a process where you say, "Man, I thought I was getting somewhere and I had to start all over again"? Listen, I want to, let's just practice. Let's just praise God for starting over again. Yeah, yeah. You thought you were bagging up, but really he was thrusting you forward when he started over again. But this is the part I love. He says here, in 30, "And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. He acquitted us and made us righteous, putting us into right standing with himself. And those who he justified, he also what? Glorified." Listen, we don't have to wait to go to heaven to be glorified. All right. We're not a bunch of escape artists. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You know, he told the people who were standing up on the roofs in Thessalonica, they were standing on the roofs saying, "Come on, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord, come. He says, "If you don't work, you don't eat." That's what that scripture's in context. He's saying, "Listen, you're standing on the roof looking. You know, you need to go to work so you can eat, because he's not coming today." But you know who's coming today? Yeah, you know, the world is groaning. It's in travail. It's in pain. It's waiting for us to manifest. Watch this. And then he says, he justified, glorified, raising them to heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Then he says, "What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe? If God is on our side," this is what I want to tell you. The kingdom is not for cowards. God says, "I'm looking for those who understand that I'm with them and I'm for them." That whenever the enemy comes in against you like a flood, the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. I looked up that word standard. It's a flag. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, God says, pow! This belongs to me. And so the enemy comes in, and that standard slip, he says, oh, I can't trust past that. Yeah, that's why you wasn't taken out. That's why you didn't cave in. Because every time the devil tried to come in, he saw the standard lifted. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're formed and conformed, transformed into the image of our dear brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just like him. That's the thing. We have to remember that Jesus was not God Jr. It wasn't God Senior, God Jr., God the Third. Jesus would say stuff like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you look at my son, he painted a beard on his face the other day for his birthday. Somebody said, man, he looked just like you. That's because he's not Tommy Jr. He's got all of me. Matter of fact, I carried him. Wait, everybody said, wait a minute. Your wife. No. I was the carrier that and she was the deliverer. I had to get that right. You understand? And we were the same in our Father. So when he released us into the earth, he released himself into the earth. There are people who are crying out, waiting for you to come into their life and the kingdom of God be manifest in their life. Every chain will be broken off of them. Healing will be released. Deliverance will be released. But it's waiting for the sons. We got to stop looking at the sky, waiting for the chariot to come. Waiting for the fire to fall. Fire don't fall. It comes out. God wants his sons to arise. When they sung the song today, I tapped my wife when she said, take the veil off. I said, oh, there it is. I said, there it is. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:14. God's image needs to be in the earth. And the only way that image will be in the earth is if we release it. Corinthians chapter 3. Tell your neighbor, release the image. Release the image. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 3:14, he says, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because of the veil is taken away in Christ. So if we're in Christ, there is no veil. But we can't live like there is. We can't be blind to who we are. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you are a son of God. And everything heaven has, you have access to it. You don't have to conjure it. You don't have to. It's already accessible to you. All you got to do is just call on his name. But watch what he says here. But even to this day, When Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then he says, watch this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we use that scripture when we want to run around the church. But that's true. We can run around the church. But what he's talking about is that when you are in the Lord, there is nothing in between you and him. There is no barrier. There's no in between. Jesus himself becomes our intercessor. Jesus himself, the Bible said there's only one that is the mediator between God and man. It's that man, Jesus Christ himself. So he says, listen, the veil is rent. The holies of holies, you're in it. I don't need an in-between. I could come boldly to the throne. So whenever you're willing to release the kingdom in the earth, you do it boldly and with confidence because you have access, direct access to the kingdom, to the king. Everything heaven has, you have direct access. So why are we living so beneath our privileges? Jesus died to rip the veil down. Jesus ended it all. And what happens is when we don't believe, when we live with the blinders or with the veil, we're discounting the work. He says, listen, with the Spirit of the Lord, so we're free, amen? But we all, watch this, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same. Everybody say same.
Same.
Now, that's important. Because again, we're not talking about Jesus juniors. We're not talking about little Jesuses in there. The same anointing that Jesus carries, same power and authority that he carries is in you. Jesus paid his taxes by going to a fish's mouth. There was no limit to what he had access to. God says, if you don't have it, I'll give it to you. I need to go to a fish's mouth right now. I need two fish, five loaves and all that. I need all that in my life right now. I need multiplication. You know, we as pastors, and I'm going to tell on us pastors, we go to conferences trying to figure out, Apostle Robert, how to grow our churches. So we think, we need new lights. We need a little haze. We need the best sound in town. And we learn all these tricks of the trade, these systems. I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I don't believe that there's a system to how to grow God's church. And I don't think it could be programmed. We have outreach programs, soul winning programs. And Jesus said, I gave the assignment to cause multiplication in the church to be done by disciples. Our only assignment is to make disciples. Did you know that pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers don't build the church?
Come on.
Jesus asked his disciples one day, who do men say that I am? Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. He says, well, no, that's not where, but they're not that close to me. Who do you say that I am? He says, what do you say? You're the ones trying to be like me. That's what a disciple is. They're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to imitate and be just like him. He says, I'm really concerned about what you think about me. Peter rises up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father in heaven done that. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. Jesus said, I'll build my own church. But, watch this, but the revelation that Peter received got to be released in the earth.
Yes.
He says that revelation will be released through the sons.
Yes.
We all have a responsibility to duplicate ourselves in the earth.
Yes.
Not waiting for someone to come and respond to an altar call in a church service.
Come on.
We've been trying to build the church the wrong way. We don't need Facebook pages. We don't need fancy websites. I spent $12,000 on a website. Don't tell nobody. I can't tell you if we won one soul from the website. But I can tell you that when people who go to the house go out and reach somebody else, I've seen people come and get saved. I've seen people get set free. But I tell our church, they need to come in saved. The responsibility of us as the sons of God is to save them out there. We don't need an outreach program. We just need sons. It got quiet in here. It got quiet. He says, and being transformed, I'm almost done. I'm going to get you home because I know you got to go to church in the morning. And being transformed into the same image. Watch this. Same image from what? From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen. He says we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. This glory cycle is supposed to continue in our life. But we get caught in one move. We get locked in one thing. And God says, there's a next dimension of glory for you, but you're stuck. When the suns arise, when we take the veil off, when we really begin to believe who we are in him, when we understand that there's no limit to what God can do with us and through us, when we begin to understand that even the battles we face, we always win. Yeah. You never lost one. You might have felt like you lost one. But victory is not a feeling. You're positioned in victory. That's who you are. There's a song, a gospel song, say, my name is victory. That's just who you are, victory. You never lose. There's a secular song that says, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. If the world can sing it. We should be able to sing and dance to it. But it's once we recognize who we are, this state will be taken over by the power of God when the suns arise. When we, watch this, have our prayer meetings and then activate. Have our prayer meeting. Spend time in the presence and go without the pastor putting the team together. When we become soul winning, disciple making, kingdom releasing, sons of God, when we understand that the world will not change unless we do the job. I don't care who's the president. I don't care who our next governor, mayor, city councilman, assembly members, new police chief. Nothing's going to stop until the sons of God arise. You want to see the murder rate go down? Arise. You want to see abuse and domestic violence go down? Sons, arise. If we want to see the epidemic of cancer and all that stuff to stop, let the sons. The Bible tells us that we can lay our hands on the sick and they will recover. Not maybe. He says that if they have a devil, we can cast that devil out. We can break the spirit of depression. We can break the spirit of oppression. We can break every spirit that's over our city, over our region. We have the authority to break it. But I'm gonna sound the alarm for men right now, though. Can I do that? We need men to arise. When this young man came up and began to say, "The rock is still here," the rock. I said, "Yeah, that's what we need men to come up and command things to shift." Yeah. You know, and I'm done right after this because I'm probably get kicked out after this one. When the Bible calls the woman the weaker vessel, it's not talking about that she can't lift what I lift, that she can't build a building or drive a truck. When God set up divine order, he said the weaker vessel, it was talking about morality.
that men were called to set the temper, to set the tone for morality in our homes. Oh, here we go. And what happens is when divine order gets out of order, and our wives have these encounters with God, and they come home and they want to change the morality of the house, it becomes very tough. And you can feel, and you felt the weight on your shoulders when you tried to flip the morality in your house. But when your husband got saved, I know. They won't. We get this divine order. And it doesn't mean that, because remember, there's no gender when it comes to sonship. But God set a divine order that even Adam had the power to cover Eve. But he chose not to. He could have said, no, she didn't do it. I did it. I think it would have been a different outcome. But guess instead, he played the blame game. He said, it was the woman you gave me. That's what he said. It was the woman you gave me. But what if he would have, because the Bible calls him the first Adam. We wouldn't have needed a second or a last Adam if the first Adam would have done. I really believe he could have been that stand. He could have been that sacrifice for her. So there's a redemptive nature. There's a redemptive spirit in a man. That if he gets in position, just like when he prophesied to these young men, when they arise, they can break a cycle. Hey, they go to my church too. I'm excited. The other part is, listen, all it takes is one man to break any curse, any cycle on a bloodline. So Jesus said, if I can't get other men to do it, I'll do it myself. He said, the prophet said in Ezekiel, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, to build up a hedge. And guess what his response was? Couldn't find one. I couldn't find one. But I believe in this season that men are going to arise. It doesn't remove the authority and the move of God that God is doing through our women, but they will have a covering of men who will cover them. And they can go, they can do what God wants them to do and be covered. Amen. Are there any real men in the room right now who will cover? Boy, that was, well, let's try that one again. Apostle, I got nervous there. Are there any men who will arise and cover? Amen. You know, because I felt like the ladies was like, oh my God. Oh my goodness. See, my wife don't even have to deal with the devil. Because if he shows up, he's got to go through me. My daughters, if he shows up, you got to deal with me first. And once you deal with me, you're not getting them anyway. So I'm looking for men to arise in their position and train their sons. Then we'll break domestic violence. We'll break rape. We'll break incest. We'll break it right off our region. When men will protect instead of causing harm. It's the woman you gave me. I don't even know how I got there, but praise the Lord. God wants sons to arise. He wants us to come out. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to not have any fear. And I'm going to tell you now, the only opposition you will face is against the religious will rise up against you when you begin to stand in your place as a son. But I'm going to tell you what, it makes our position and our assignment much easier when sons arise and do what they are called to do and be commissioned to go out and expand and cause multiplication to hit the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. 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 So, Father, tonight we thank you that we have the same DNA as Jesus. We have the power to redeem the lost, to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. We are walking glory containers. And God, I'm asking you to tilt us over and pour us out. Paul said, I'm poured out like a drink offering. God, pour us out in the earth, God, that there can be a revolution that will take place. A radical, life-changing move of God in our region, God. That the world will see and place Alaska, as Apostle Mary said, as that focal point. That the fire of God will be released in our region. But it will only happen when the sons of God arise. When that many-membered man arise. That they will see the hand of God moving in every community, in every part of our state. God, I thank you right now that the sons are here. And I challenge every son, oh God, to go out and to release the glory of God in the earth. To be bold as a lion. To go out and tear Satan's kingdom down. God, you said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I thank you that you are for us. We thank you, oh God, that you go before us. You've already set up an assignment and a pattern for us to live. God, let us do it with great joy and with great power and great authority. Help us not to back down, to give out, to give up, to stop. But help us, oh God, to continue to go forward with great authority and great power. Father, I thank you that you commissioned us to go into all the world preaching the gospel, changing lives. For you said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We thank you today, God, that you've entrusted us with this power. Help us to go out and to release this power, that the world may know that Jesus saves, and that the new sons will arise because of the gospel message being released, the power of God being released in the earth. We thank you and we give your name the praise. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen. 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 Come on, let's give him praise. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Come on, let's give him some praise. Let's thank him. Let's give him glory in this place. Hallelujah. No longer will I sit down and allow other people to do the job. I'm going to go out and change the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Come on now. Just sit down for a minute, okay? You know, I just want to tell you one thing. Well, more than one thing, but this one thing. I feel like I've been in church. Because this is the DNA of which my wife and I grew up in, is this type of preaching and teaching. The gospel of the kingdom. You know, how do we become sons anyway? Jesus said, it's my food to do the will of him who sent me. It's my food to do the will of the Father. That's the simplicity of it. Is to say, yes, I'm willing to do your will. In Matthew 24, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So many times we're looking for the end to come. It's almost here. It might happen tomorrow. It could happen just the next day. You know what? The enemy has planted this stuff in our minds to keep us from doing the will of him who sent us. He said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world, all nations. And then the end will come. We as sons and daughters have some work to do. There is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of our Father, and we are his sons. And you know, in the Hebrew culture, they didn't really call sons a son until they were about 30 years old. Which Jesus, he started his ministry when he was 30, right? But they called sons, sons, when they were able to do business for the Father. They could go out and do business, and the Father would just say, go out and do it, because you speak for me. You know what? He wants us to speak for him. He wants us to be his mouthpiece. But we're going to have to go through some things to get there. And we're going to do it. We're doing this thing together. This gospel of the kingdom is at least going in here, out to Anchorage, to the ends of the earth of Alaska, and then some. You know, it feels good when I hear people talking to me out there. Sometimes when there's preaching, we could say, yeah, right, I like that. But when they say, amen, brother. Yeah. So our next meeting is going to be up here. I think he's going to put it on there. It's April 7, or it'll be up there in a second. We want to invite you to come. In the back, there's a sign-up sheet, and if you'd like to get an email notification of our next meeting, just put your name on there. We'll send you out an email so that you'll know when our next meetings are. And I just, Apostle Tommy and LaTanya, thank you so much for pouring out your hearts to us. And our brothers and sisters from New Seasons for coming out and being a part. Thank you for coming out. We appreciate you. We truly are called to flow together, for how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, you know, we're so used to just getting right in there and doing stuff. And in at Kingdom Alliance, it's our, what we felt to do is, if you want to sow into the truth, when you want to sow into the truth of what God is speaking and you feel that truth, we just put the money right in the basket. And if there's a prophetic word that says, that's what I need, we say, I'm going to sow into that, the truth of the word, because that's for me. And so if you haven't sown in yet, the baskets will be up here. We want to bless our ministers. And it's the ministers that are on the stage. We bless our worship team, our sound man, those that we're connected with, and those that speak here. So if you haven't had a chance to sow in yet, we appreciate you just sowing into the baskets. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Pastor Steve and Vicky, it's been an amazing weekend. You guys set it off and released the spirit here last night, and it was amazing. Father, we bless you, Lord. We just thank you, God, for this people, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that we're never going to be the same, God. Your word has gone into our heart, and we say, come in, change us. We accept your sonship. It is our food to do your will. And we thank you for growing us in your kingdom. Lord, I thank you, God, for your blessing on each one as they go. Give your angels charge, Father, over. Father, fill our houses with your presence, Lord. God, fill our night seasons with your dreams that guide and direct us, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear your voice more clearly by your prophetic spirit, Father. God, I just proclaim that now. And even as it's been prophesied that you're bringing in those that are lost, bringing in those that need to be healed, Father, Lord, bring them into our midst, Father, that we could speak your truth, the love of you and your salvation and your kingdom. We proclaim that now in Jesus' name. Amen.